You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 390, and of course, Randall's joining me as well. Randall, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. Only 95 days till football season.
Keeps on getting closer. Today on the podcast, there was what appeared to be breaking news on Malik Zaire going to Florida. We'll discuss that a little bit. And then talk or give our early predictions for Notre Dame's wins and losses going through Notre Dame's schedule. Not going in depth. And today's podcast might be a little bit shorter than normal. And then we'll have some more in-depth on previewing the different teams as the summer goes on. Is there any recruiting news, Randall?
Yeah, they had a couple offers go out. And you want to do that now or you want to wait till the end to do that?
Let's do that now.
Well, the coaches are back from spring recruiting. They finally got to come home for a while. Mike Elko tweeted out 5 weeks, 24 flights, 22 nights in a hotel, 16 states, grinding to bring that national title back to South Bend. Brian Polian said he visited California, Washington, Oregon, Utah, Hawaii, and Illinois. It was an awesome month. So the coaches have obviously had a very busy month, but they are coming. They finally get to come back and get a little break, I guess you could say. It's probably not much of a break, but it would seem like it after traveling that much. But there are a couple more offers go out. Two 2018, Sam Vakalahi. He's a three-star defensive tackle from Salt Lake City, Utah. And then Tariq Bracey is a four-star athlete out of Milpitas, California, somewhere in California. Those were the two 2018 offers. And then there's three 2019. Quinn Carroll is a four-star offensive lineman from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Ethan Ray is a four-star tight end from Anaheim, California, and he comes from the same high school as Troy Nicholas, so he's got a connection there. Then Isaiah Foskey is a four-star tight end from Concord, California. And then they had the first two offers for 2020 go out. So the first guy was Jacob Cohen. He's a strong side defensive end from Charlotte, North Carolina. He's already got 15 offers. He's 6'5", 250, and he's got a couple years of high school left. So.
Wow.
He's a big kid. And then the second one out to Savelle Smalls, outside linebacker, 6'4", 225 from Seattle, Washington. So both those guys will be very highly ranked by the time 2020 comes around. But they are starting to offer those guys. Then Notre Dame made the top, anywhere from top 5 to top 16 list on a bunch of guys.
Anywhere from top 5 to top 16, is that
what
you said?
Well, here's what, Bryson Jackson is a 2018 wide receiver. He had a top 12, then he added 6 schools that he has interest in. So, that's actually 18 there. So, anyways, another recruit, I can't think which one it was right now, but somebody dropped from 32 to like 5. So, somebody made a huge jump, cut out a lot of schools. In the top 7 for running back Levante Valentine, these are all 18 guys. Top 10 for defensive end Jason Oye. Notre Dame definitely wants to add him to the class, defensive end. Cameron Babb is a big time wide receiver there in his top 9. And then maybe the biggest one is linebacker Jack Lamb there in his top 5. And then one more, Lawrence Keys. They're in his top 13. So they're making some top lists for guys.
And a couple of these could commit this summer.
Yeah, yeah. Some of these could commit or will commit somewhere this summer. But, hey, they're narrowing it down, and Notre Dame is still in the running. So that's always a good sign.
All right.
One thing I wanted to add, we've talked about the pictures that the Notre Dame staff or the edits that they've been putting out. The latest one has a picture of an iPhone. It looks like a screenshot of an iPhone. Here, I'll show you. You would think like a Twitter feed.
Yeah.
So this one went to Jalen Williams. And if you zoom in and start reading the tweets, they get pretty interesting. It's Brian Kelly, proud of all our players, excited for week two. Thanks, Notre Dame fans. Great atmosphere. Okay, that would be, you know, he could say that any year. But then Jalen Smith, good to see my Irish bros get the win. That freshman, Jalen Alex, has his Twitter handle, is something. And then they even have one from Under Armour mentioning his name. And they have one from Skylar Diggins. Always fun to be back home. Can I get my picture with Jalen Alex Will?
So, okay.
And then,
not,
you know,
not,
like
not
the
bad.
Date.
I like it. Well, yeah, what are there dates on these tweets?
No, these but they
predictive
have
predictive tweets?
They actually have retweets. So, like, the Skylar Diggins got 12,000 retweets, 3,000 likes, and 152 comments. So, I thought that one was kind of cool to do something like that. So, anyways. And the screenshot of the iPhone, he's got about 47 missed messages in his inbox. So they went into great detail.
Very good.
But anyway, that about covers recruiting for now. Irish Invasion is obviously coming up. Is it June 10th? So there'll be a lot of names thrown out there. Who will show up and who backs out? And yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the Malik Zaire story. And the first I think I saw something was over the weekend, maybe Friday. But there's nothing really new, is the bottom line.
Well, the other day, Sunday, I saw it Sunday. I was at the Indy 500, and then on the way home, I was going through tweets that I hadn't looked at. And I was like, oh, Malik Zaire is going to Florida. I was like, what? I hadn't heard anybody else say that. And I kind of started looking into it, and somebody from South Bend, was it ABC 50? One of the news sites was saying, oh, you know, they have inside sources.
I think it's a tweet you're talking about from Alex Wilcox.
No, it wasn't that one.
It wasn't that one?
No.
Okay. Well,
but that might be one of them.
This is the one tweet that carried some weight. Sources tell me that former Irish quarterback Malik Zaire is telling people he has chosen Florida, is now just waiting for SEC to change transfer rules. Well, and that very likely is the case, and very likely is true. But then I guess some of the drama around it was that Andrew Spivey from GatorCountry.com tweeted out and said, contrary to reports, Malik Zaire has not made a decision.
Well,
and that could also be true. Both of those could kind of be true at the same time, and probably are.
You have to remember, somebody also said that he was down to, what was it,
Harvard.
Texas, Harvard, and Florida.
Wisconsin and Florida, yeah.
And yeah, I was on the podcast. He said he didn't say anything like that. But, I mean, basically when I saw that story, then I started looking at somebody from one of the South Bend side. I think it was ABC 57. I'm sure one of them supposedly had sources, inside sources, and then one of the main sites, 24/7. It was kind of funny. 24/7 was saying, that they were using the ABC guy for their source, and source, so it was all like secondhand. And if you clicked on the name of the South Bend source, you clicked on the name, it was highlighted, you clicked on there, a recruiting profile popped up. So somebody didn't spend a lot of time doing that. But my thing is, it looks like he obviously wants to go to Florida. Everybody knows that. But he has not said anything, and people just trying to jump on the stories that they can say, we've been reporting this for a month. The thing is, they're very likely going to happen. If Florida, you know, they're waiting on, is it this week when they have the
this
SEC
week they have their,
the hearing?
Their meetings, their spring meetings. And so definitely we should know by then. And the logical question is, well, why hasn't he announced it yet? And the logical reason is that, well, the school that he's most interested in is probably in the SEC, and he's waiting for
confirmation that he can go.
Exactly.
That's why I hate when people start saying, we've been saying this for how long? Your reputation should precede you. You should. Anyways, that's my gripe for the day.
All right, that's all I have about the story. We'll know more later this week.
Yeah.
And, okay, are you ready to go through the early predictions for Notre Dame this season?
Sure.
All right.
Hey, early, when does it start? When is it not early anymore?
Exactly. Should we go through the 2019 season?
Sure.
I've I have a new standard for Notre Dame football. In the last few years, I even wrote a blog post about it, maybe within the last year. And going 8-4 is just is not good enough. We should be getting 10 wins or flirting with 10 wins every single season. And these predictions are based off what I think Notre Dame should be able to do with the staff they have, with the players they have, and with the schedule they're going up against.
Well, here's the thing. I was thinking about this earlier today. I was like, you know, what am I actually going to predict? Because I know what I think it should be, but then you kind of got to look at reality.
I'm done with reality.
Is it ever reality with Notre Dame fans when we start predicting for the season? The only time I will say it, I've mentioned it before, but 2012 was the only year that we had very low expectations.
I remember that season, hearing Brian Kelly at pep rallies talk about, I don't remember his exact words, but he alluded to the fact that, you know, this could be a special season. I thought, what are you doing? There's no way that we're going to keep on winning. And this was maybe three or four games into it.
And we broke down each game. We didn't do it on the podcast, but it was one or other. And we were like, I think we predicted, I don't even remember what it was, but it wasn't a good record.
Okay, let's just start with that. Temple, opening week Temple. And we're not going to go in depth at all. Basically just picking out a winner, and if you have a few thoughts, go for it. But Notre Dame should win this game, a win from Notre Dame.
Yeah, I agree. And Mike Elko should be very well prepared for this because that was actually the last team he coached against when he was at Wake Forest. Wake Forest played them in their bowl game, and they just dominated Temple.
Although they do have a different side. Offense now.
Yeah.
But he will be going against a lot of the same players. I mean, a lot of the same offensive players should be there.
Yeah, but this should be a good win, and of course everybody's expectations will be sky high after this game.
I went through this already around, picked out my winners and losers. Do you have an idea of what?
I have an idea.
Okay, all right. Georgia, week two, at Notre Dame. Yeah, Georgia is an SEC traditional powerhouse, but it's at Notre Dame. They have recently gone through a coaching change, and I'm picking the Irish for this one.
I'm actually going to disagree with you. This is when our expectations come crashing back down, and they will lose to Georgia.
And if this were at Georgia, I would be going the other way. But because it's at Notre Dame, I'm giving Notre Dame.
Well, here's the thing. Supposedly, you know, with Notre Dame, with the upgrades, Notre Dame is going to start getting more of a home field advantage. But at this point, Notre Dame doesn't have that. Teams aren't scared to come play at Notre Dame. That's why mine doesn't change.
All right, Boston College, at Boston College. I'm picking Notre Dame for this one. This is an opponent that Notre Dame should be able to put away every year, or every year that they play them.
Should being the key word, but yeah, they will win at Boston College.
But Notre Dame does struggle with Boston College, so you're also picking a win for that one.
Yes, at Boston College, yep.
So here's our second away game at Michigan State. And Michigan State, they obviously had an awful season last year as well. But they continue to have just bad, not bad luck, but their program continues to just, it doesn't seem to be trending up like Notre Dame's has been this offseason. And I'm not convinced that they're going to be able to come back and have a stellar 2017 season like I expect from Notre Dame. So I'm picking a win for Notre Dame.
Yeah, Michigan State is down just like Notre Dame, and I think they have even more issues than what Notre Dame
does. They definitely do.
They're still dealing with guys with off-field issues, with staff and players, and I think Notre Dame's going to win this one.
And then Miami of Ohio, an easy one here, a win.
Yeah, that's a win.
North Carolina, at North Carolina. I'm also picking a win from Notre Dame here without going into much explanation.
Yeah, they're going to have a different quarterback, a new quarterback, which is already halfway through the season at that point. But I think Notre Dame can win this game.
So far, we're both have pretty optimistic outlooks for the first half.
So you're
half,
at first 6-0, and
oh,
and I'm at 5-1.
Yeah.
That sounds scary.
I guess I have a lot of faith in these new changes at the coaching positions. And strength and conditioning, you know, we should be starting to see some fruits from that. All right, next up, USC. USC is at Notre Dame. And USC, I do think, is going to be an excellent, excellent program. They've got a star quarterback that national media are ranting and raving about. But I'm picking Notre Dame for this one as well.
Man, you definitely have stepped away from reality. I'm chalking this up as a loss for Notre Dame.
And then Notre Dame hosts North Carolina State last year in the hurricane. This year, hopefully we'll have some nice fall weather. And I'm picking Notre Dame for the win in this one against North Carolina State.
Here I'm going to say Notre Dame because it won't be played in a hurricane.
And then Wake Forest a week later, also at Notre Dame. And Notre Dame, again, should win this game. There's a large differential between the talent of players and I think also the quality of coaching.
Well, here you have Mike Elko going against his former
team.
Yeah, they'll be going against his former team, and this will be a Notre Dame win.
All right, so far I have Notre Dame.
You only have one loss.
I don't have any yet.
No, you don't have any.
Yeah, I have Notre Dame 9-0. You have them at 7-2.
Yeah.
All right, next they take a trip down south to Miami, and here is where I'm picking Notre Dame's first loss of the season, at Miami. Miami won last year as well.
No, they didn't. Oh, Notre Dame won.
Sorry.
Jerron Jones.
Yes. Played like an animal.
Yes.
But it's at Miami, and I've seen some of the games there, and it's insane down there. Notre Dame will be coming off probably an easy victory against Wake Forest, going away to Miami, and then they have Navy coming up. So I'm assuming maybe some of their focus is already starting to shift towards preparing for Navy and the option. But I'm picking a loss here from Notre Dame.
Yeah, this is one of the... I had a couple losses that I know are for sure, and then they're going to win one. I mean, they're going to lose one that they should win. And this is that one. I think they should be able to beat Miami, but they're going to end up losing it.
And then they host Navy a week later, and I'm picking Notre Dame for the win here, although that is by no means a guaranteed win.
Yeah, I'm going with the win against Navy. Obviously, you know, it seemed like they had figured it out against triple option, but Mike Elko has coached against the triple option as well, and I think they're going to get a win here.
And then going to Stanford for the final game of the season, after playing Navy, I am just factoring in a little bit of the fatigue.
Post-Navy.
The post-Navy fatigue. And I do think Notre Dame loses that final game against Stanford.
Yeah, I think you're right in that. I think they will lose the last game of the season at Stanford.
So I do have them at 10 wins, but just really falling off at the end of the season.
Well, that's kind of how it, I mean... I guess the way it's set up, it is good to have those, I guess, the tough teams in the second half of the season, except for Georgia. I mean, so they should be playing a lot better, but I think it'll just be too much for...
All right, and so your final, I was 10-2. Your final was 8-4. See, Randolph, to me, 8-4 is just, like, it might be 8-4, but 8-4 is just, it's just average.
I know. I'm not disagreeing with you on that. I'm telling you what my prediction is going to be, not what I want it to be. So I have to go. That's why I had kind of gone with 9-3, but they always had that one game, and I picked the Miami game as that one game that they're going to lose. I mean, I don't. USC, Georgia, and Stanford to me are going to be losses.
I don't know. Georgia is the one that I just don't know about at this point.
Well, they have some very good running backs. But it's at the beginning of the year.
But I like what... I'd feel differently if it were at Georgia.
I'm hoping you're right. They're, you know, with the stadium upgrades, the new sound system, the replay, it's just different things that they're doing. The visiting tunnel... you know, just different things to kind of make it harder for the visiting team instead of basically treating them like another home team, you know, like a the alternate team. I definitely like that, and I hope Notre Dame can get to that point where they have more of a home field advantage.
All right. So there we have it. You guys can tweet out your thoughts on this if you think that I'm crazy. And I do admit that, like, this is – things have to go. I mean, Notre Dame could beat Miami. I do think Stanford is pretty much locked in at a loss. But they could beat Miami. But, yeah, what are your thoughts on that? Or you can write a post over in the forums, too, if you have a thought over there as well. Okay, Randall, anything from you before we wrap this up?
I don't think so.
All right. Thank you guys for checking out the podcast. Thank you for downloading and listening. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.